closer too quickly, and she screamed as bright red lava rose up to engulf them. Chapter 37. An hour into the battle, Ula realized that betraying the Republic was going to be much harder than he had imagined, even from his privileged position high above the battlefield. The problem lay in the sheer amount of data pouring from the battlefield into the Auriga fire. It was impossible to keep track of it all, let alone to decide which isolated part could be best manipulated in order to benefit his masters. He could barely keep up with the torrent as it was. Missiles full of hexes had restored the orbital defenses and provided new weapons with which to pound the combined fleets, making it difficult to lend ground support to the teams below. The CI target was burning, and the pole was hidden under smoke. Comms were erratic at best. Ula had no way of knowing what was going on down there, and the situation on the moon was little different. The hexes had been strafed repeatedly, but without sending in troopers to tackle them face to face, it was impossible to tell if the infection had been contained. Every time the Alliance made progress, Lima Zandrit's tenacious creations bounced back in a new and surprising way.
"I have locks on 3 subspace targets," reported Stryver. "Their relays scattered across the globe."
That was good news.
"Send the coordinates to Kalish and Pipolidi. Tell them to take all 3 out."
"We should keep 1 intact," said Jet. "How are we going to infiltrate their comms if they don't have any comms left?"
"How close are we to cracking their cipher?"
"I don't know. Glunker has worked out the transmission protocols, allowing us to pretend we're the CI, but we're no closer to figuring out the actual language it's using."
"Then I can't afford to take the chance. We know they'll build new relays anyway. This way we gain a momentary advantage. We need every one of those we can get."
Jet killed the ship's calm for a moment. "Here's something else to worry about. What if Stryver's staying out of the fight purely to get those ciphers? With them, he could turn the hexes on us." Ula hadn't thought that far ahead.
"You're right. And we can't have that. When Klunker cracks the code, let's keep it to ourselves."
"That would make us unstoppable. You don't strike me as the ruling the galaxy sort, but I'm not sure about your masters." Ula had absolutely no desire to rule anything. There would be no hiding in the shadows at all while seated on a throne. And he wasn't going to say anything about his masters, true or false.
"What about you?"
The question was a loaded one, and Ula had his hand on the holdout blaster while he asked it. Jet laughed.
"What? Give up my carefree life? I don't think so, mate. Too much red tape by half."
A new red light joined the many flashing on the instrument panel. An alarm joined it.
"Multiple launches," Jet said, all laughter forgotten. "From the planet and the moon, too, this time."
He stopped and peered closer at the viewscreens.
"Something's headed our way. The CI must have noticed us sitting here, keeping entirely too low a profile. Time to move."
Ula notified the leaders of the combined fleet that he was now a target and would be changing orbit. The commoner acknowledged immediately, but didn't offer any kind of tactical support. The Paramount said nothing at all, just sent a squadron of interceptors.
"Negative, negative," said Jet to the squadron leader. "Return to the fight. We'll be okay, and we'll holler if that changes."
"The Colonel's orders were very specific," came back the reply. "We're not to let you out of our sight."